King, we love you. We magnify you, Lord. This day, we have had the privilege to come before you. God, we have given you the worship that we could give you. We have given you the praise that we could give you. King of kings, we pray and we ask. Rejoice in our worship. Rejoice in our praise. And Lord, grant us the favor, oh God, of hearing your word. Grant us the favor of cherishing your word. Grant us the favor of accepting your word. King Jesus, at this point, every soul, every mind, every heart is quiet before you. We pray, deliver your word. Let it flow through me with the power that you have anointed it. And let it hit every heart, every ear, every mind with the power that you have anointed it. God, let every word convey your will. For we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, God word that came to me, I titled it, "We've Got to Do It." We've got to do it. Let's read first from Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, and then Matthew 8, 18 through 22. Luke says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air has nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another one he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another one said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those of my house." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven, of God." Sorry. Matthew 8, 18 through 22. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you everywhere you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples says to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." First of all, I want you to notice this. It is the same story recounted by two different gospel writers. Every story has, I would say, a particular flavor, because every writer has his own background. Matthew was a tax collector, a Jew. As such, his writing were intended to reach the Jewish people with the gospel, the good news. So all emphases in the book of Matthew were aimed to make clear to the understanding of any Jew who would read his report on Jesus. For Luke was a physician, a doctor, a scholar, which made his writing somehow detailed, often pointed, with a purpose of saying to his addresses the right thing they ought to know. Luke was also a Greek by birth. He is a descendant of Greeks. And as such, he was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. So his count on the Lord targeted the Greeks and the Gentiles, which we are. Also, something that makes Luke a particular writer of the gospel is that he was a disciple of Paul. Paul, the apostle. So that makes his writings particularly directed and pointed to the Gentiles. Now let's look into Luke passage that we just read. You see, in verse 57, Luke writes, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you everywhere you go. Question, who is that someone that Luke is talking about here? Who is that someone? See, Luke was not interested into the identity or the background of this someone. All he wants is something that we will see at the end. Someone. Doesn't matter who that was. He didn't want to see the color he didn't want to know if he was a Jew or a Gentile. Someone. Now listen, I said in the beginning that every one of them, Luke and Matthew, they had a target. So now, you will see in Matthew something. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 and 19. 18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, see a detail that Luke did not point. The crowd. Amen? Another detail. He said, he gave orders to go over to the other side. That's another detail that Luke did not mention. Verses 19, a scribe came up and said to him, teacher, I will follow you everywhere you go. Here, this is the someone that Luke was talking about. A scribe Now, why is that Matthew makes this identification, even though there is no name attached to it, it is at least a specification of the someone that Luke was talking about. It's a scribe. What is a scribe? According to dictionary.com, a scribe is a person who serves as a professional copyist, especially one who made copies on manuscripts before the invention of printing. A public clerk or writer, usually one having official statute, also called sofer. It's the Judaism way of saying scribe. Amen? That's what dictionary.com says about a scribe. But in the Jewish history, scribes were a group of Jewish leaders who flourished. I say well, who flourished from the time of the exile until the destruction of the Jewish state by Titus. That was around the years 70 AD. Originally, their name in Hebrew was Soporim. Soporim, writers, who used merely of clerks whose functions were to copy royal and sacred manuscript. Can you see how Matthew's sense of the thing was so important to point that the crowd and the other details? And then underline the scribe in his count. For he knew that the Jews who will read his count had to pay attention to the fact that a scribe was also in the crowd, and that this scribe was drawn into Jesus. He was so drawn that he wanted to follow Jesus everywhere he goes. But Jesus answered to him. And this is Luke 9:57. Luke 9:57, or also Matthew 20. It is the same answer. It is the same answer in Luke. It is the same answer in Matthew. It says, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." What does Jesus mean? Why not say, "Oh, you can follow me," or you cannot follow me. Why not say, "Okay, come"? He uses an image. He uses an image, and he knows that this scribe is able to understand it because he is a scholar. He is like a man with a lot of education, and he can understand an image. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air, they have nets. But me, Jesus, I have nowhere to lay my head. Folks, All that Jesus means here is sir, you can come if you want, but be assured there is no luxury in my company. That's what Jesus was telling him. You can come, but know that there is no luxury in my company. Rather, it is sleepless walk through the fields and villages and cities, and a tired fool rowing boats on seas and lakes. Are you going to come? Well, the Bible does not tell us if the scribe guy did follow Jesus as he said he would do or not. But in another occasion, I know Jesus said this, and it's in Matthew 19:24. He says, again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. It is not a condemnation. It is not. Jesus is not condemning a rich man. All he is saying is, if you are rich and you are holding on to your riches, you may not get to know heaven. That's all he is saying. If you are rich and you can just give it away and follow, it's okay. But if you cannot depart from your riches, then heaven is going to be difficult for you. Why not impossible? Anyway, the story continues with Luke 9:59. It says, to another one he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. The same count in Matthew 8:21. It says, another of the disciples said to him. Luke said, another said to him, no identification, no specification, but Matthew says, another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Luke pays less attention to the identity of the individual. He pays less attention to the specificity of the identification of the individual. While Matthew defined this another as a disciple, it is important for his Jewish audience to notice that it was a disciple, not anybody else. A disciple, someone who is already part of the club. He had followed Jesus all around. But Luke trusts that the Gentiles would guess and for Luke, the importance lays on the lesson to learn out of this. That he is a disciple, that was not important to Luke. Luke is looking for something that will stick with the Gentiles, that will teach the Gentiles in the way that they would understand what he is talking about. Following Jesus. Now let's see the answer of Jesus to this disciple. Matthew 8:22 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead.'" My friend, Matthew is shorter than Luke. Now let's see what Luke says here. And we will understand why Luke is not so interested into all the specificity that Matthew was interested in. Luke says, Luke 9:60, "And Jesus said to him, 'Leave the dead to bury their own dead.'" That's what Matthew said. Now Luke goes ahead and says this, "But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." See here, for Luke, everything boiled up to proclaiming the kingdom of God. That's where Luke wanted to go to. Amen? Matthew, after he talked to his audience that it was a scribe that talked to Jesus. And this time, he says, it is one of the disciples, to specify that he was part of the club. All that Luke wanted is to say to his audience, it's all about proclaiming the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's go back again and talk a little bit about the scribe. To the scribe who said, "Jesus, I want to follow you everywhere you go." The answer of Jesus is curious. "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nets, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus knew how much the coziness and the comfort of a mansion, not just a villa, not just a house, a mansion, a palace, a workplace that is distinguished. He knew what that meant to a scribe. Amen? So Jesus is just saying to this scribe, it's going to be difficult for you to follow me due to your usually way of living. It's going to be difficult. Then we have the continuation of the story in Luke 9:59. "Why to the other disciple Jesus said, 'Follow me.'" Why? He was already following if he is a disciple. Sometimes Jesus knows who is following him,
But he says nothing until he confronts you with a shawl.
You are at church every day. You pay your tithe. You do everything. You are always in any meeting. You are always ready to respond to any call.
But when the pastor says, we have an old lady that has a flat tire, and I hope you could help her get her tire on.
Then you go, oh no, I have to go. I don't have time today. Maybe you're gonna have to get somebody else. Or pastor is looking for somebody to lead prayer. You are here every day. You praying behind there every day. And the pastor said, today, the prayer leader is not around. Can you help us with praying? Oh, no, I can't do that because I have to go. Here, right here. Let's learn this lesson. He is a disciple. He's following for years. And when Jesus said, follow me, that's when he went to go and bury his father. Prerequisite. Jesus is not looking for people to follow. He is not looking for a crowd. He is looking for obedient, consecrated, committed, ready to go people who will not say no when it is time to do something. When Jesus said, follow me, he is saying to you and he is saying to me, follow me. This is for every one of us point of decision taking. For here, the prerequisite of this disciple was, I got to bury my father first. Bible don't tell us his father was dead. That's not what the Bible says. It means my father, I got to go stay with my father until he dies and I bury him. Then after that, I can come and follow you. I want to do what I want to do first. And then later, I can come and follow you, Jesus. Come on. I am a young lady. I haven't dated yet. I got to date and live my life first before I can come and follow you. I've been to college. I've spent my time studying. Now I have my degree. And you calling me? I got to use this degree first. Make the money first. Live my life first. And then come follow you. Prerequisites. Excuses. See, Matthew stops at this point. Matthew did not talk about the next other that Luke is talking about in Luke 9:61. Luke 9:61, he says, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those of my home. See, he is zealous. He has the zeal. He has proud of knowing Jesus. Amen. He is at church every day. And to that one, Jesus did not say, follow me. He heard Jesus say to the first one, follow me. And with all the zeal that he has, he said to Jesus. He didn't wait that Jesus tells him, follow me. He said to Jesus, man, I got to first go say farewell. And then I will come. You think Jesus don't know who you are? You think you can hide behind an excuse and make Jesus wait for you? No. No excuses. He knows it. Now look at how he answered this one. Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks behind is fit for the kingdom of God. My brother, my sister, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's so, so mind-boggling. If we understand what he is saying here. There is a big lesson to learn about what Jesus answered to those three people. Identify yourself with either the scribe, or identify yourself with the other disciple. Or yet identify yourself with that one who says, I got to go say farewell before I follow. The big lesson here is, it is a risk taking to want to follow Jesus. It is taking a big risk to say, I want to follow. But it is a risk worth taking. Let's see. Luke 9:23-26. Luke 9:23-26. It says, and he said to them all, This is a King James version. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father and of the holy angels. See, people just come to church, and when they go out there, they're ashamed to let anybody know that they are Christian. Swearing is their thing. Name calling is their thing. Dancing is their thing. They are not different from those who are of the world. They're ashamed that anybody knows that they are Christian. Jesus said he will be ashamed of you too. Another lesson to learn is that the cost of following Jesus is expensive, but it is worth paying the price. For the reward is greater and it lasts us forever. Matthew 10, 36 through 38. And a man's fold shall be they of his own house. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worth of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worth of me. And he that take not his cross and followeth after me is not worth of me. Huh. This is something really difficult to swallow. You gotta deny your father, deny your mother, deny your siblings, and deny yourself to be able to follow Jesus. Now, is there anything that he didn't do that he is asking us to do? Didn't he deny his father and his mother for the sake of your soul, of my soul, of our souls? Didn't he deny, give up his honor, give up his pride, give up his kingship, give up his glory to come for us to be saved? Is there anything he is asking us that he did not do first? But there are totems. In following Jesus. Totems are what you should not do. The don't do is stronger than just don't do. It's a not to get close to doing. And we see it in Luke 9:62. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Ha! That's it. Don't do. That's it. Don't do. It's like when you start with Jesus, you're doing the work of the Lord. And you get irritated and you say, no more. That's a don't do. When you are in church, you are not in church for the church. You are not in church for your brother or your sister. You are in church for Jesus. So everything that may hit your what can I say? Anything that can bother you should not make you back off. You are here for Jesus. He hasn't said go yet. And when Jesus says you can leave, it's because he has prepared some place where to use you. Jesus never let you go lest he sends you to some other shores. You were doing something in the church, and he sees that what you are doing in this church is so important and it's so helpful. And then he sees that your what you're doing can help better in another place. Then he says, there is another place over there that I can use you. You can go. That you're not leaving church. You're transitioning to another place. But because the pastor is too skinny and he is black and he doesn't talk good English, I am not coming to church anymore. This, Jesus will not be okay with that. Because, what, just a thought. What makes it, what makes you think that he is not keeping you here to become the pastor later? That's first. What is it that is telling you that you cannot help this pastor talk better English? What makes you think that he is not telling you, okay, he needs your help to gain some weight? What is Jesus has something for everyone in a church. All we need to do is, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. And he will use that. Avail ourselves. Forget about ourselves. Let Jesus take over. And when he does things, he does them. Oh, man. He can change your life. Your life that was a rusted iron. Your life that was a dirty wood.
He can make it a gold, a purified gold. It's if and only if you want to give up this life for him. Toss the life that you're living to him.
Amen. Jesus has never done anything anyhow. Jesus did everything methodically, with purpose, in a teaching. Luke 10, verses 1 through 12. After this, the Lord appointed 22 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where himself was about to go. The method here is that Jesus did it first for them to see. He did it first for them to see. Now he appointed them and he says, you saw me, do it. Go and do it the same. Amen? And he said to them, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Jesus, God with us, came to earth without angels. He came to earth without army, without bodyguards. He came to earth without any glory. He is sending them as lambs. And the Bible calls him the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. He's sending them as lambs. Where? In the midst of wolves. Verse 4. Carry not money bags, no knapsacks, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. I want to comment here. He's saying, don't wait until you are rich enough to go. Don't take money. Oh, I want to be well dressed before I can go. No, don't do that. Just go. He has sent you. Don't stay distracted by people on the way. Keep going. Whatever home, whatever house you enter first, say, peace be to this house. Bless, don't curse. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. Just bless. Bless with your words and let God do the acting. But if not, it will return to you. If you bless, you will be blessed. If you water, you will be watered. And remain in the same house. Eat and drink whatever they provide. For the laborer deserves his wage. Amen? If you look at the life of Elijah, Elijah had nothing. He had nothing. He was moving from from cave to cave. And God feed him. God feed him through a bird. God feed him through widows. People who could not even have enough to eat. He is the same God. He hasn't changed and he will never change. What he said has happened. What he said is going to happen. It is happening now. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. The kingdom of God has come near to you. That is what we have to vehicle. I mean, I'm talking French now. We have to transport it everywhere. The kingdom of God is come near you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go in into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. He didn't say kill them. He didn't say when they don't receive you, call the army. Call the fire from heaven. No, just shake the dust of your feet and keep going. Keep going. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. Tell them that. Even though they don't want to hear it, tell them that the kingdom of God has come near you. Shake your feet, but tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. If they change, like Nineveh, they will be saved. If they don't, like Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire is their reward. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Huh? That's God talking. It's not me. So, learn this lesson through the 72. Learn this lesson through the 72. It was just like a scientific experimentation for our generation and all the generations to come. 72 went. And they came back and told Jesus, man, even the demons, they were fleeing. And Jesus told them, I even saw Satan fall from heaven. How powerful is that? It is powerful. If it can happen to these 72, when Jesus says in Matthew 28, from 16 to 20, go ye, make of all nations my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is the name of Jesus. And teaching them all that I have taught you. This is what he says at the end. And I I shall be with you all the way to the end of the times. This Jesus sending the 72 was, oh God, he was with them all through the towns and the villages that they were preceding Jesus. We are preceding Jesus on earth, and he is coming after us. But mainly, he is with us. We do not have to fear. We do not have to tremble. We do not have to wave and look for people to help us. We have Jesus. All we need to do is do what he said do. We do not have to change things. We do not have to make up things. We do not have to. Only what we have to do is do what he sent us to do, the way he sent us to do it. For it is for the best of us. It is for the best of us first. And if we make our intelligence the means to get where he wants us to go, we're losing out. We got to obey and do exactly what he asks us to do, what he says do. That's how we will see the miracles that followed all those who did things exactly like Jesus told them to do. And there is no way Jesus will share his glory with anybody. Nobody. Nobody. He will not share his glory with anybody. He's not gonna make miracles to have you feel like you are better than everyone. He's not gonna, through you, make miracles to get people to worship you. He's not going to do that. He's going to follow his word. And all those who follow his word, that's those he will use. And that's those he will make miracles to. He didn't make miracles with all the apostles. He did not make miracles with every one of them. Only those who went. Only those who did the things he said do. So for now, I am done. Aim. Obedience. Obedience is better than all the sacrifice. All the sacrifices that you can do. Obedience. Obedience. If you have heard this word and your heart is cut and you don't know what to do, stand up on your feet and let us pray. Father, your word has come. My brother and my sisters, wherever they are, if it is now, hear my cry in their favor. If it is later, still hear my cry for them. In the name of Jesus, I ask that the conviction in their heart lead them to the obedience of your word and God. That the kingdom of heaven be preached through them, all that are around them. And continuously, that the kingdom of heaven be preached everywhere that they go. I pray that in the name of Jesus. And I ask, oh God, forgive anyone and everyone who
could recognize any disobedience and any kind of withdrawal from your calling. God, I pray, forgive them. Bring them back to the good senses that you have given them. And help them stand and serve you with joy and peace. For our part, I pray your blessings over the worshipers, over Raphael, over Michelle, over Lacey, over Gael. God, I pray for all those of A or of any environment, any churches. God, I pray that hearing your word, oh God, not only draw them to you, but also bless them as they draw near to you. I pray that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Be myself aware.